Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci here in Berea, getting ready for our second hour of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we're going to bring in an honorary fourth member of our crew here because he's with us so often, and we are so lucky to have him, the great Solomon Wilcox from CBS Sports, who will be on the call when the Browns take on the Ravens. Solomon, welcome to the show.
Well, guys, thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
So you've seen this Browns team quite a bit this season. What have you? What changes have you seen in this team from week, you know, when you saw them earlier in the year to where we are now, coming off of the Kansas City game?
Like a new quarterback every time I lay eyes on him. I the areas that you can speak positive about are obviously what they're doing on defense and what Ray Horton continues to do with that group. I'm still amazed that they've hit the ground playing as well as they are 8 games into this system, which can be a complicated one. It can be very tough and difficult to grasp with all 11 defenders. I see Tashawn Gibson on the back end emerging as a safety when everyone didn't know you had one other than T.J. Ward. I see Buck the Screen having improved dramatically over what he did last year. So we're seeing players that maybe many people didn't think could play began to emerge. So they're starting to get, I think, a lot of productivity defensively. Offensively, you can tell there's still some missing pieces.
You talk about the defense. You brought up T.J. Ward. Pete Prisco, columnist for CBSSports.com, just listed his midseason All-Pro team. T.J. Ward was his starting strong safety. What have you seen from Ward that really stands out to you so far this season?
He's become a playmaker back there. He's always been tough. He's always been very physical. But Ray Horton, as you got to understand, is a very smart coordinator. He was a very heady player. To get a safety that thinks as he does, and that's what all coordinators want. In Pittsburgh, that guy would be maybe Ryan Clark, thinking like LeBeau wants, because he's got to be the quarterback of the defense to get everyone lined up, but yet he's physical. He's making more plays on the ball. And I think he's only going to get better year two, year three within this scheme.
Solomon Wilcox joining us from CBS Sports here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Solly, the quarterback change, as you said, you've seen them all now on this team, and you're going to get to see Jason Campbell as a starter Sunday. What are some of the things that jump out to you about what he brings to the table?
He's got big-time arm, guys. I mean, big-time arm. He's seen a lot of NFL defenses. Now, he's not as mobile as the other guys are. He's going to hang in the pocket now. It's not maybe going to come out as quick as it did when Hoyer was a quarterback, but I expect him to get rid of it faster than, say, when Wheaton was a quarterback. I expect him to not miss a wide-open Chris Obanaya on the sideline like he did week two, or at least as Wheaton did week two against Baltimore. I expect him to be more accurate throwing the football and not take as many sacks.
Solomon, Josh Gordon, second in the NFL, 97 yards receiving per game, was not traded, and we had talked about this many times. You thought it would have been a bad idea. I agreed with you. He's now here. What does this free him up to do as a player now that that distraction is finally off the table?
You know, guys, I'm friends with a lot of Major League Baseball players. I've talked with them because those guys are, you know, traded more than anyone in any other sport. And, you know, even great ones. I mean, a good friend of mine like Dave Justice, he was traded, you remember, playing for the Cleveland Indians. I'm talking to him on the field at Jacobs Field one week. Next minute, I'm covering the Yankees in the Bronx. And he's traded to the great Yankees. And even he was disheveled by being misplaced or displaced from Cleveland. I've got to find a new home, new friends. Where do I sit in the locker room? You cannot tell me that Josh Gordon wasn't distracted with all the talk. I watched him in Green Bay. I watched him slip and slide all over the field. I saw a young player sort of, you know, undermined a little bit. It felt as if he was going to be disowned, didn't know where he was going to be from week to week. And it's hard to buffer yourself from all those rumors. So I think now he can settle in knowing he's going to be there in Cleveland and begin to play football and begin to start building and becoming the player that we know he can be.
And, Solomon, you can speak to this so well from a player standpoint. There has to be some real plus here for the head coach of the team in terms of the trust he has with everybody, not just in Josh Gordon knowing that he's a part of this thing. And I know the head coach wanted him to be here. He didn't have the ultimate say as far as trading goes. That's going to be at the Joe Banner level of this organization. But the fact that it doesn't get done, and the fact then that he could stand up before his team today, Rob Chudzinski can, and say, hey, we're all in this, and we're going to try to get this thing going right. Second half of the season, a lot of games to play. We're out of nothing. You can say those things with a straight face and a believable face when a deal that was talked about with Gordon doesn't happen.
How about this? If he goes to Josh Gordon and say, listen, I stood on the table. I wanted to keep you here. Let's make this work. Let's make sure that this offseason, this is not a story. You and I can build something together. You're perfect for our offense. You're the kind of wide receiver that we can build around. You can turn this whole thing around and get the contract you want, but you're going to have to play your way into it. We can't talk our way into it. I think he's won Josh Gordon over, and I think if Gordon plays the way I think he's going to play the second half of the season, that wins over the rest of the team and saying that, hey, I want the coach to be able to stand on the table for me one day. Should my number come up, if I'm Joe Hayden and looking for a new contract, if I'm T.J. Ward and I'm looking for a new contract, all the other players are paying attention now. And Chud has done a wonderful job, I think, of motivating these players when everybody thought they were waving the white flag or surrender after trading Trent Richardson, getting these guys to buy in and getting them to play hard. And I see Chud really earning some stripes and the respect of his players on this football team.
And that's so critical to leadership and trying to lead this team to its first win over the Ravens in Cleveland since 2007. They've lost five in a row by 10 or more points. And Chud today talked about, you know, kind of being the little brother to the Baltimore Ravens, and somebody brought up being the patsy in this division. Well, they've already beaten the Bengals. What, Solomon, must they do to beat the Ravens this Sunday?
You know, they're not the patsy. It's like, and I've said it before, I remember when the Bengals were that little kid on the schoolyard in Pittsburgh and Baltimore where the bully's on the block. That's what it's like. You know, you got to walk to school through some treacherous neighborhoods, and that's what the AFC North is. And I see already, by virtue of the week two game when the Cleveland Browns led that game at halftime, by the way, they actually, I thought the game wasn't as close as the score indicated when the Browns beat the Bengals. And the Bengals are a good football team. I think the Browns have already earned respect from every team in this division. They know when they see Phil Taylor, Jabal Sheard, Paul Kruger, Barkevious Mingo, T.J. Ward, Joe Hayden, they know you got to bring it if you're going to beat this football team. Now, they've already answered that part. Now they've got to be able to win some of these games, and that means scoring points. That means having more than one rushing touchdown eight games into the season, seven games in. You got to be able to run it with a physical nature in this division, and you got to be able to score points against some tough, real physical defense.
So, Solly, as you look at the terrain, and I know you know that Bengal team so well, your former team sitting atop this division, they got a game tomorrow night at Miami, and then you look at the rest of the AFC North, the Browns, the Ravens, the Steelers. Give me a sense of how you see the second half of the season playing out. Do you truly think the Bengals are in a position to run away with anything?
I wouldn't say run away. No. Yeah. They've got teams like they still got Baltimore twice. They still got to play at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. They still got to play teams like San Diego. They got some really tough teams coming up at the back end of the schedule. And that's why they got to win this game tonight at Miami. Because that'll be seven wins for this team. So, you know, to me, I think it's going to be winner take all in the AFC North. I'm not so sure we're going to get a wild card out of the division this year. So either you win it, or you're probably going to have to stay home. Wild card's going to be tough. So better bank on trying to take it all. You get to seven wins right around the halfway mark of the season. I mean, God, you could stumble into three more to get 10, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and that certainly is the challenge. The Browns did defeat the Bengals at home, which is something they can hope to hang their hats on here. When you talk about this Ravens team, one of the things that really stuck out to me in evaluating them is the play of Ray Rice this year, averaging 2.8 yards per carry, 4.8 yards per catch, both career lows for him by a lot. What do you think is going on with Ray Rice in this Baltimore Ravens offense?
Well, one is they moved to a more zone blocking scheme. You can clearly see they're trying to adjust to it because it's not just about Ray Rice. Bernard Pierce is not even averaging 3 yards a carry.
Yep. You're right.
And so it's both guys. It's the offensive line and all the moving parts, trading for Eugene Monroe, getting rid of Brian McKinney, trying to get the zone blocking scheme to work in concert with the running backs. As you well know, it's one cut and get downhill. Front side's got to walk out, guys off. Backside's got to cut and get bodies on the ground. Seven games in, maybe they haven't perfected it clearly, but I think this is the path they've taken. They got to stick with it. But it takes time to get some of these things going. I think that's what you see. See some growing pains. This is not about Ray Rice as much as it is the entire unit working. Receivers got to even block better if they're going to generate a running game.
All right. Well, Solly, we appreciate the time, the knowledge, as always, and I look forward to seeing you here at First Energy Stadium on Sunday.
Can't wait to see you guys, and take care. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Thanks, Solly.
He is the best. He is Solomon Wilcots, analyst for CBS Sports, will be on the call once again multiple times for this Browns team. As you mentioned, Nathan, a regular, really the fourth wheel of our operation here. Gerard Cherry, that third wheel, you're going to hear from him in a little bit. And at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to a UFC fighter. His name is Stipe Miocic. He fights out of Euclid, and that's what it says on his bio, although it says he's from Independence. So we'll hear from him, and I think he grew up pretty much a Browns fan and is going to get a tour of this facility along with some other UFC fighters. That'll be coming up at the bottom of the hour. Much more ahead on CBD. Vic and Nathan, ESPN 850, WKNR.